A man can survive there if he's mean enough and smart enough. Some go out and take up homesteading on their own piece of land, but you'd better be ready to defend it against muties and thieves. If you want safety, there are populated areas scattered up and down the eastern coast, and westward.
Then civilization can still be found?
I didn't say anything about the Deathlands being civilized. There's plenty of Pestos with nothing more than a place to drink and sleep if you're traveling. Bigger areas with towns and a sort of government breaks down into two basic types of communities, vills and baronies. Vills tend to be a touch more democratic than baronies, which are usually a dictatorship.
I see. I'm not wholly familiar with how you are using the terms baronies and vills, Mr. Cotter, but I can make an educated guess.
Usually a barony is safe enough as long as you stay out of the ruling baron's way. And if you don't mind being cowed and walking around with your tail between your legs on a daily basis.
Is that the situation here? You the boss?
No, I have my small staff here in El Moro. What goes on outside these stone walls is of no concern of mine. I do think you'll find life here a tad less restrictive and less threatening than what you appear to be used to.
Jamevu gave them all a quick lesson regarding the new land in which they had now taken involuntary residence. Roughly rectangular in shape, Puerto Rico was 100 miles from east to west and 35 miles from north to south, three times wider than it was tall. Within such a limited space, the island had once possessed it all in terms of a pleasant lifestyle. Now, according to Jamevu, only the eastern half was habitable.
El Moro is on Old San Juan, a mini-island, really, located in San Juan Harbor. New San Juan, rather, what is left of New San Juan, is on the mainland.
What can you tell us about this place?
What do you want to know? Old San Juan was a tourist mecca. New San Juan was the most advanced city in Puerto Rico. Together, they created a thriving economy up until the Third World War. And now, nothing remains but a scattering of communities. Not unlike the vills you described earlier. As far as I can tell, there was severe famine after the war, and many of the inhabitants perished, leaving only a few survivors to repopulate.
So what's the political situation here? Barons? Leaders?
Jamevu shrugged.
Most of the people here are too poor to think of such aggrandizement. Leaders here are born or made, not bought or elected.
You said you were in cryosleep?
Correct.
Where are the cryo facilities?
Miles away in the true Puerto Rican redoubt, at least the only redoubt on this side of the island. I was forced to leave the secure area I awakened in because of problems with the base's nuclear generator.
What kind of problems?
No power. Ah, we've reached your rooms.
Jamevu had taken them personally to an area in the fortress that had been remodeled at one time or another into a series of guest bedrooms. Each of the tidy sleeping chambers had a small night table made of the finest oak, a double bed with handmade comforter, ample closet space, and a dresser smelling of sweet spices.
I'll leave you to choose your own rooms and sleeping arrangements. I apologize for the lack of bathrooms, but this fortress was not designed for the individual. The bath at the end of this hall has two stalls with bathing facilities and running hot and cold water. There are towels inside on the racks, and additional linens can be found in your rooms in the bottom drawers of the dressers. If you have clothing you'd like laundered, leave it outside your rooms and the maid shall see to it. Supper shall be at dusk. I'll instruct the cooks to prepare a feast, as I haven't entertained here in some time. Oh, you're in for a treat. Home cooking by a mother and daughter team. Fine cuisine.
Jamevu stepped back a few paces, bowed deeply at the waist, and was gone, leaving the group to make its own choices and go off into the designated rooms. Doc scratched his nape.
Most curious.
The expression on his face was one of deep concentration. A few days' growth of beard stubble added to his wan look as he pondered private thoughts.
What's up, Doc?
Mildred bit back a snort of laughter, earning a glare from Ryan. It wasn't the first time she'd snickered when Ryan phrased concern for their elder statesman in a similar manner.
Wish I knew what was so damn funny, me asking Doc a question.
What is up, you say?
Ryan's query finally weighed in on Doc's mind.
Oh, our benefactor. A most curious man.
Yeah, he's not exactly what I expected to find when we jumped into this place. Or any place, for that matter. Seems to have his shit together. So far he isn't trying to breathe too hard down our necks.
I didn't see any sec men at all in this part of the fortress. No cameras either, unless they're hidden. Has his own hired men, sure, but doesn't seem to be as paranoid as most. and he keeps guards around the gateway control room doors, but those are the only guns I've seen so far.
Ryan reached out and tapped a finger on the barrel of the M4000 scattergun JB held.
And he didn't bring up the subject of our blasters. Usually, first thing out of any self-styled leader is the demand we turn over the hardware. Makes for a nice change.
I believe there are probably additional SEC men in and outside El Moro. There's a funny vibe to this place. I can't put my finger on it yet.
We can talk about it later. Right now, I could use a bath.
Mildred started to approach the bathroom.
Christy, you and I'll go first, if that's all right with the rest of you.
Sure, Mildred. Go ahead. We'll keep watch out here. Jamivu isn't the only one with a private sec man.
We'll save some hot water for you. Maybe.
Might just join you.
Mildred waggled a warning finger back.
Uh-uh. No, you don't. Wait your turn.
As the women disappeared behind the bathroom door at the end of the hallway, Dean took a moment to sniff at one of his armpits, lifting the arm high and craning his neck over to get a good whiff.
Phew. I smell worse than shit and sunshine.
Sheesh. What else new?
Yeah.
Ryan stepped away from the two boys and left them to hold their own debate over who smelled worse. He'd noticed that Doc was still turned slightly to one side from the others, his face far away, as he concentrated on his own internal field of inquiry.
Something still in your mind, Doc?
Doc didn't turn, but kept his face to the wall as he spoke.
Ryan, I find I am experiencing a most disconcerting sense of déjà vu.
Déjà what?
Déjà vu. French for a disturbing familiarity.
How so?
I have the strangest feeling I have met Dr. Jamivu before, which makes his name all the more peculiar.
Doc worked his hands nervously up and down his walking stick. Ryan flexed his fingers in a half-hearted attempt to crack his knuckles.
Jamivu. Sounds like more of your French talk to me.
Very good, Ryan. The cognomen is indeed French.
Hell, Doc. My brain's not as overstuffed as yours, but I'm no dummy either.
Well, I guess I'm the stoop. Cognome what? Translate for us dullards, please.
The laconic armorer had grown interested in the conversation. Farther down the hall, Dean and
like
Jack were still continuing to insult each other's
you
personal hygiene.
Like beauty cry.
You don't need to throw knives, Jack. You could kill somebody just by flapping your armpits.
You smell like fat lady's butt crack.
Cognomen, last name. And that is not a translation, but a definition, John Barrymore. As for the translation, and I'll be the first to admit my mastery of French is a bit rusty, I think the name Jamivu means a most peculiar sense of time.
The offer Jamivu had made to provide fresh laundry was impossible to resist, and everyone contributed items of apparel to the stack of soiled clothing. In 2 hours' time, the mound of clothing was taken away by a plump woman with long black hair tied in a tight bun, washed in a remote part of the fortress, dried, and returned folded. One of the SEC men they'd met in the gateway control room came at dusk to rap lightly at their doors and fetch the group. Mildred stepped out of her room with JB. She felt refreshed from having a bath and clean clothing to wear for a change.
Lopez, right?
The big man didn't look amused.
No, ma'am.
Garcia?
Luis, actually. I think you have me confused with my cousins.
You lose again.
The SEC man went on to knock and alert the others of the impending meal. Once all had been accounted for, he led them through a passageway and into an opulent dining room. Centered in the room were a dozen chairs around a long wooden table with an immaculate white tablecloth. Jamivu stood at the head of the table and waited until everyone else was in place and seated before he took his own seat. Ryan sat to his left and Doc to his right. The Puerto Rican mother and daughter who cooked for Jamivu were standing patiently on opposite sides of the table, both apparently serving as hostesses for the meal. He'd introduced them as Elena and Maria, but the pair hadn't spoken in kind, choosing instead to merely nod and keep their focus on the work. Both carried a vibrantly painted orange serving pot on a tray. Upside-down cups on saucers at the upper left of each of the place settings matched the color of the orange pot, so Ryan took the visual clue and turned his cup over, watching the younger Puerto Rican woman pour it full of a steaming brown liquid. Mildred, down and across from Ryan, sniffed where the mother was filling her cup.
Mmm, smell that aroma. I haven't smelled coffee like this in... well, in years.
Ryan lifted the smallish mug to his lips, trying to be careful and not burn himself with the hot liquid. He didn't know what Mildred was getting so excited about, since real coffee was hard to come by. Rarely was the real thing